This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 15th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The first substantive item on our agenda are alternative notices of proposed rulemakings governing independent expenditures and electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations. This is a repeat from our agenda in January. In January, we were unable to agree to a proposed rulemaking to put out for public comment. It's back on our agenda to an attempt to move the agency forward in how to respond to the court's decision. It should be clear from the revised documents that we have come a lot closer to an agreement about what the scope of topics should be in this NPRM for public comment, and I want to thank my colleagues for all of the discussion, long discussions about what should be in these documents. Both drafts recognize that we must address some elements of our reporting rules, and that, I think, reflects progress from where we were in January. I personally think it's important that we ask whether our existing rules must be revised to ensure they continue to serve their original purpose in light of the repeal of prohibition on corporate expenditures. It appears there still may not be four votes to ask, for example, whether we should get public comment on whether the Commission should consider its regulation, which currently provides for more limited reporting for ECs for corporations and labor organizations. This is one area where the two drafts do differ. Draft A contains alternative proposals for modifying the current rules. One would maintain the status quo in which corporations and labor organizations are treated differently from others, persons making those expenditures. The other alternative would rescind the special provision for reporting by electioneering, of electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations. Draft B, in contrast, proposes a revision to the rule text limited to eliminating the cross-references that would be accomplished by other parts of the proposal, which I would agree would need to be done were we to eliminate 114.15. And the draft also briefly solicits comment on the clarity of the current reporting regulations and about possible changes to the Commission's forms. Again, I really appreciate my colleagues providing that additional content to the draft that they're willing to support. From my perspective, it doesn't go quite far enough. I really do think we need to ask about maintaining the distinction in the reporting in this area for corporations, labor unions, and everyone else making electioneering communications. And frankly, while draft A is not exactly my preferred route, it is much narrower than the proposal that my colleagues and I put forward in January. In my view, it is the minimum we should be asking about in response to the court's decision. As you will notice, the next item on the agenda, being a practical person, I recognize that we may not be able to put out a full NPRM on these topics. We do have two notices pending, or sorry, petitions pending with the Commission that we must take action on if we are not able to include them in an NPRM, and so those are on the agenda for the Commission's consideration later this morning. Again, I would prefer to put out an NPRM which more fully addresses all these issues. If we're unable to do that, others outside of the building have presented issues for us for our consideration, and we will need to take appropriate actions under the regs with respect to those petitions. So that's why they're on the agenda. That's my concern about draft B. And like I said, while draft A is not my preference, I would be willing to support it today. I'll open the floor to anyone else who has comment on these two agenda items. No other comment. Commissioner Weintraub.
I thought maybe somebody on the other side of the table might want to talk next. I think we have come a lot closer, and I haven't given up yet. I'm you know, work with me, guys. Come on, we took a lot of stuff out of our draft, issues that we wanted to raise and questions that we wanted to ask, and you know, we did a real tough red line on ourselves and stripped it down a lot. And you know, I'm willing to talk about taken more out, and you've added some stuff in, and I think it's important. And some of the disagreements at this point come down to some really small stuff. I mean, your draft, I mean, everybody, I think, acknowledges at this point that we have, if we're going to take out 11 CFR 114.15 from the regs book, we have to also take out the references to that in other places, and that includes in 104.20, 8 and 9, the reporting provisions for ECs. And the question is, how many words are we going to take out around the numbers? Because we can't just take out the numbers, because the sentence wouldn't make sense. Then you would have a sentence that read, in 8, for example, if the disbursements were not paid exclusively from a segregated bank account described in paragraph C7 of this section and were not made by a corporation or labor organization pursuant to the name and address of each donor who donated an amount aggregating blah, blah, blah. I mean, the sentence wouldn't make sense. So obviously, you've got to take out a few more words than just the citation itself. Now, what you have proposed, what my colleagues have proposed, is pursuant to 11 CFR 114.15. What I am suggesting is that we take out a few more words in front of that, and were not made by a corporation or labor organization pursuant to 11 CFR 114.15, which would actually change the meaning of the provision. Then it would read, if the disbursements were not paid exclusively from a segregated bank account, what would have to be disclosed would be the name and address of each donor who donated an amount aggregating 1,000 or more to the person making the disbursement, aggregating since the first day of the preceding calendar year, which would return it to the status that the regulation was in post-BCRA and before the Wisconsin Right to Life rulemaking, which is, you know, what triggered the lawsuit, which then struck down 114.15. The underpinnings of the Wisconsin Right to Life rulemaking were substantially knocked out by CU. We all agree about that. And it seems to me to be a perfectly legitimate question to ask, well, should we then just eliminate everything that the commission did in response to Wisconsin Right to Life? Because what my colleagues have proposed is to eliminate part of it, but to leave part of it, which would sort of leave it in a state that's somewhere in between where the rules were after BCRA and where the rules were after the Wisconsin Right to Life rulemaking. And I can't quite get my mind around why that's an illegitimate question to ask. Why we cannot ask, in addition to, should we take out 5 words from this regulation? Alternatively, should we take out 15 words? How can that be an impermissible question? How can you not let us ask that question? I know you don't want to censor me. That would be contrary to all of your most deeply held beliefs to be engaged in government censorship. All we want to do is ask a few more questions and pose another alternative. And, you know, similarly, Section 9 of that regulation was added in response to the Wisconsin Right to Life decision and as part of that rulemaking. And I would like to ask whether we should repeal that provision in light of Citizens United. And again, I just don't see how you can possibly say that question is illegal. It's impermissible. We cannot hear from the public on that. We do not want to hear from them. If they try to send us comments, we're going to cover our ears. We're just trying to have a wide open, robust debate, which is what the First Amendment is supposed to be all about. You know, you've come a little ways. I think we've come further. I'm willing to go a little further. I'm hoping you're willing to go a little further. Work with me. Come on. We can get a little closer on this, because I think everybody out there and everybody who's listening and everybody who's going to read about this meeting would really, really like us to put out an NPRM. And it seems really silly to me that we're not going to be able to do this today, if indeed that is the case, you know, because some people are only willing to ask about 5 words and not 15 words. Or maybe, you know, to be completely honest, 15 words and one paragraph. Come on, guys. It's not a tenable position to take, to say those questions are beyond the scope of what we are doing here. Those questions are illegal. We can only ask about part of the sentence. We can't ask about the other part of the sentence. That's not where you guys really want to be making arguments like that. And I'm really, I mean, I'm prepared to support draft A and today, and not draft B, but I'm also completely committed to continuing to work to find a place in between those two drafts. I believe that place can be found. If people are just willing to move, you know, we've moved a little bit, let's move a little bit more and just try and get this done.
Vice Chair Hunter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If it were only so easy.
Why isn't it?
And I agree with you that it's silly that we're not able to adopt an NPRM today, especially since there's a huge chunk at the beginning of both of our proposals. It was at 1.75 pages. I didn't count this time. But it's a lot that we agree on. So why not move that out now and then deal with what we all agree are the thornier issues later? And that's been our proposal from the beginning. As you know, a lot of this, I feel a little bit like Groundhog Day. We've talked about all of this on January 20th. And while it's true that we kind of forgot to remove the cross-reference last time, so I didn't realize that that was so illuminating, removing a cross-reference to a reg that everybody agrees is likely not enforceable any longer. And we asked about the forms. You know, should we change the forms to tell corporations that they can make independent expenditures? Again, I didn't think that was terribly illuminating, but I'm glad you think that was helpful. We're really in the same place we were in January, which is the Supreme Court issued a landmark decision nearly a year and a half ago to find much of the law unconstitutional, and obviously we want to remove those regulations from the books. They're still there. And I don't know how the agency can defend keeping those regulations on the books for this long. Of course, the words that you're talking about, those nine or however many words you're talking about, it's the crux of the disagreements that we've been having for a year and a half. And we don't believe that anything in the Supreme Court's decision is relevant to increasing disclosure, to adding additional regulations that require more disclosure. I know you're going to pull out the same sentences that you read last time, and I read them again last night. I don't think that anything in there requires the FEC or even suggests that the FEC increase disclosure. The way I read the opinion is that the Supreme Court said, look, there's disclosure out there. Citizens United wanted to have no disclosure on their ECs, and the Supreme Court said, no, we're upholding the current disclosure regime, which is what we have now. The other practical reason that I mentioned in January for our the reason that we don't want to add these issues to this rulemaking is all evidence points to we're never going to get a rulemaking at the back end if we add these things in there, because so far you've not been willing to do a rulemaking on the core issues of Citizens United, and there's no evidence that our colleagues are willing to vote out a rule on the back end that won't include those issues. So that's another practical reason for not wanting to move forward today in raising those issues that, again, we don't believe were addressed by the Supreme Court.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Okay, I have to read the words. You said I would do it, and I have to do it. Supreme Court said, with the advent of the Internet, prompt disclosure of expenditures can provide shareholders and citizens with the information needed to hold corporations and elected officials accountable for their positions and supporters. Shareholders can determine whether their corporation's political speech advances the corporation's interest in making profits, and citizens can see whether elected officials are in the pocket of so-called moneyed interest. The First Amendment protects political speech, and disclosure permits citizens and shareholders to react to the speech of corporate entities in a proper way. This transparency enables the electorate to make informed decisions and give proper weight to different speakers and messages. The Supreme Court plainly endorsed disclosure of the sources of the money behind this kind of advertising. And that, to say that's not a core issue in CU, I think, is ignoring that was the core issue before the Supreme Court expanded it to include other issues. And I fully concede that they did expand it dramatically, but the disclosure issue remained in the case, and the Supreme Court clearly talked about it. And in any event, putting all of that aside, you still have not answered the question of how it can possibly be okay to ask about part of a sentence, but somehow impermissible to ask. Just ask the question. Ask for public comment. That's all we're doing at this point. We're not at the final rule stage. How can it be permissible to ask and necessary to ask about part of a sentence and completely illegitimate, impermissible, not allowed to ask questions about the rest of the sentence? How can that be true?
Vice Chair Hunter.
I thought I already answered that, because all we did was provide notice to the public that we wanted to remove a cross-reference to a reg that in another part of the NPRM we proposed striking. So it seems reasonable to tell the public that we're going to take that part out of the regs, and that's the reason that we bring up that provision. And then the other thing that you mentioned was you read from the Supreme Court opinion, and then you said, see, the Supreme Court thinks we should disclose the sources behind the funding, or whatever you said. And I didn't hear you read anything about the sources behind. You only said that after you read the quotes. The Supreme Court upheld the disclosure regime, and even in a portion of here, cites directly to our regs.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I'll read it again. This transparency enables the electorate to make informed decisions and give proper weight to different speakers and messages. Who is speaking is the fundamental question. But, you know, I understand that what you want to do is to remove five words. I understand that's what you want to do. What I'm asking is, why is it illegitimate to ask for public comment on the rest of the sentence? That has never been the way this commission has done business before, where we say you can only ask about part of a sentence, but you can't ask about the rest of the sentence. And it's arrogant to assume that all the knowledge in the world on this subject is contained at this table. All I want to do is open it up to the public and invite public comment. Why is that a bad thing? How can that be a bad thing? We are not at the end point. I'm not asking you to vote for any rule text. All I'm asking is to put some more questions in the NPRM, the notice, at the very beginning of the process. How can that be harmful?
Commissioner McGann.
The issue, as I see it, is what are we going to do, in what order? Are we going to do things separately? Are we going to do things in one big mass? And although we can wrap ourselves in the flag and have condescending language and laugh and giggle and all that, this is serious stuff. The reality is Citizens United is a game changer, but it's not just Citizens United. It's Emily's List, it's Speech Now, Unity 08, case after case after case. We have a lot of things on the books which shouldn't be on the books. The problem with having them on the books is there will be some people who will read the reg book and not realize that they've been struck, or that there are regs that were not squarely addressed by a particular court case, but the logic of a court case requires them to take them off the books. We're going to hold all that hostage because we want to do additional disclosure requirements. Now, whether or not we ought to do additional disclosure, which means undoing a rule in 2007 that was passed by the commission shortly before some of us joined, and some of us who are here voted for, right? We're going to change that rule, but why do we have to hold the other part of the rulemaking, meaning taking things off the books to ensure that people know they can exercise their rights? Why do we have to hold that hostage by having the disclosure part? Well, I'm not sure. There's a lot of politics floating around. You know, it's become, unfortunately, a charged issue. You know, the Disclose Act was not an easy thing to watch happen. Failed the Senate not once but twice. There's draft executive orders floating around. FCC's talking about doing things. IRS is doing who knows what. I mean, just reading the newspapers, it seems like there's a lot of this going on. But here we have other things I think we need to do first. Because, well, the FEC lost these cases when it came to the important things. Now, I hear Citizens United started out as a disclosure case and that kind of thing. That may be true, but it certainly didn't end that way. And what I don't understand is why we still haven't begun the process of taking regs off the books that have already been declared unconstitutional to ensure people can exercise their rights. We haven't even really gotten into Emily's List, which came out in 2009. CU came out in 2010, then Speech Now. And all these cases are just sitting there. We've gotten way behind on taking these things off the books. People have come in with AOs to try to piecemeal it. I mean, we can wrap ourselves in the flag, but what we don't mention is last night the commission was enjoined from going down a road that some wanted to go down in an advisory opinion regarding a PAC who wanted to raise unlimited funds to do independent expenditures and raise money and give it to candidates. They wanted to have separate accounts. Two commissioners said, oh, no, you have to have two separate PACs. And an injunction was entered last night. And if you read the 21-page opinion, I've never seen an opinion that uses the word the commission failed more. Now, when it talks about the commission, it talks about two commissioners. Now, that opinion said, whichever candidates plaintiffs wish to support and issues they wish to espouse must be freed immediately from the chill of possible FEC enforcement. Immediately. Now, you could say, well, that's why we need to start a rulemaking. But why do we need to bog down the Citizens United issues, and I include in that Speech Now and Emily's List, which really aren't even part of our proposal, because those were things I wanted to put in, and I was told by several, oh, no, we don't have time for that. We've got to start small and then go big. Why do we have to hold hostage taking things off the books that have to come off the books, deal with things that may have to come off the books or may have to be rewritten in the wake of these cases in exchange for what seems to be and a different rulemaking regarding disclosure? I want to talk about how the commission has worked. When the FEC loses a case, I've never seen a situation where the commission's actually gotten this bogged down and taking a reg off the books, with one exception where they said they weren't going to enforce a certain reg in a couple circuits. But at least the commission was able to say that. But now we're in a situation where to do what's essentially a new rulemaking, where you would have to have four commissioners affirmatively vote to launch it, well, we're gonna ignore that, and we're just going to bootstrap onto what really needs to happen, which is taking things off the books. I mean, come on. I mean, we got to get this stuff moving, and there's got to be a way that we can do this. My concern is if you add the disclosure piece to what really needs to happen, it's going to bog the whole thing down. Why can't we do the easy stuff and do this in smaller bites instead of holding the whole thing hostage?
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree with one thing that you said, in that this is very serious. And I'm sorry if my attempts to be friendly were misconstrued as not taking this seriously, because I am dead serious about this. I've been serious about the issue of disclosure for 20 years. You can talk about what's going on politically in other parts of town, but as I said in January, I've been doing disclosure issues, and I've been committed to those issues for 20 years. So, you know, I don't care what's going on in other parts of town. This has always been a huge issue for me. And, you know, why can't we do this? Because you're committed to doing it. The only way you're willing to do it is your way.
No.
What I'm saying is, the question is, how much are we going to strike of the sentence? You say, well, the only way that we can possibly do this is to strike these five words. We can't even consider whether another way of doing it is to strike 15 words. And I just don't think that's an intellectually defensible position. You can say, you know, you think it is. I hear you. But, you know, that's what we're arguing about, not whether we're going to strike words, but how many words we're going to strike. And reasonable people can disagree on how many words are necessary to strike to implement this opinion, but that's what we have a rulemaking process for, where we seek public comment.
Commissioner McGann.
Okay, one more time. Why are we holding hostage removing regs from the books? It's not about five words. It's about there are a lot of rules in the rule book that shouldn't be there or need to be rewritten because the premise of the rule has been fundamentally changed. Again, you're getting bogged down on the disclosure piece, which to me is a separate piece. And to say, well, you know, it's five words. It's not just five words. I mean, what's in our proposal? There's so much more that should be in what we're presenting today, but it's not, because we're trying to find a way to get it out the door. But we can't, because I feel like it's being held hostage. Now, it's maddening. You were enjoying last night from some of your theories. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, here's the court telling you, you know, people must be freed immediately from the chill of possible FEC enforcement, but yet here we are talking about what's essentially a different rulemaking. Why do we have to connect the two? There's a rule on the books that was passed in 2007 that you voted for that you want to change. Okay, I understand that. The rule was put in to avoid unions having to disclose everybody who gave for ads. I understand that. That's fine. Maybe it needs to be tweaked. Maybe it needs to be revamped. That's a different situation, though, I think, than what's on the books, which need to be removed. You know, and I out of the gate, the chair said we know, you know, how to respond to the Citizens United rulemaking. Rules, quote, I wrote down in this, serve their original purpose. Well, how to respond? You comply with the court order. We've lost. Case after case after case. We can't sit here and pretend like, well, we're not sure if we lost. How do we implement the decision? You don't implement a decision unless it's a redistricting decision, then you implement the map. Otherwise, you comply. The disclosure part, ramping up and adding extra disclosure on independent speech, that's a different issue. And I still haven't heard an answer as to why that has to be a part of the larger rulemaking. Because as Commissioner Hunter alluded to, when this gets down the road, it'll become apparent why this is not just let's put it out there and see what happens, because it's going to bog down the decision at the end of the day. And it's going to hold the rulemaking hostage then, because to take rules off the books, you're going to want to add more rules to the books. That's not what should happen here. These should not be linked the way you're insisting on linking them.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I actually want to take words off the books, rules off the books. I want to take more rules off the books than you do. But
That's hard to believe.
It's true, though.
Well,
how about 104.20C9? I think that's C. 104.29. You know, let's take that off the books. But the point is, we all agree we want to comply with the court. We disagree on how to comply with the court. And that is what the rulemaking process is for. And there is not only one way, the way that Don McGahn says is the only way. That is not the only way of the world.
No, it's not. I mean, Judge Collier has a way, too.
That's not an issue here today. I understand you got
it. Oh, it's not an issue.
Okay. No, it's not. We're not talking about that decision. Obviously, we'll comply with that decision, but we're talking about Citizens United here today.
When are we going to comply with that decision?
We are attempting to do so today.
September 2009, Emily's List came out. We took a couple of regs off the books. The logic of Emily's List is still driving a lot of these regs, and we still seem confused on whether somebody can have a PAC and how much money they can raise. When are we going to do that?
I am trying to comply with what is underlying what you keep talking about, what the logic of the opinion was to strike down WRTL and everything we did in response to WRTL. Now, we can debate, you know, how many words we have to strike down.
Well, wait
a
second. Hold on. Now, I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing Citizens United upheld disclosure, but yet it struck down everything you did in WRTL.
But yet,
upholding the disclosure, it actually cited to the FEC's rulemaking in 2007. So all that language you read, that lofty prose about, you know, disclosure regime, the disclosure regime the court was talking about is the one that's already on the books. Now, we can keep talking about whether we have to fix it. Look, the forms are messed up. We all agree with that. If you're a corporation and you're trying to do an independent expenditure, you look at the form and it tells you do not use this form if you're a corporation. You can only do it if you're an MCFL corporation. So if you're a corporation, what are you supposed to file? Well, if you know to call RAD or you read the press release, you know to use the form. But if you're a lawyer and you don't know that, and your client says, should I sign this under oath? You'll say, no, the instructions clearly say you can't use it. So certainly things need to be done. But why do we need to tie the heavier lift, the thing that is a much more difficult issue, which should be with what should be easier things, which is complying with court orders? You don't have to comply with the order of the U.S. Supreme Court and Citizens United by adding extra disclosure. That's not complying with the order. Complying with the order is removing the regs on the books that have effectively been struck down or have been modified. Why can't we do that first? Why do we have to bog this down with new disclosure? Emily's List came out in, September 2009? Holy cow. Holy cow.
Commissioner Weintraub.
We all agree that we have to take some words out of Section 8 and Section 9 of 104.20. All we are arguing about is how many words do we have to take out. That's the whole argument. How many words are we going to take out? And you can sit there and say as many times as you want that taking out a few extra words is not what the court required. The court required us to take out these five words and only these five words, but the court actually didn't address those five words. So all we're arguing about is how many words we have to delete in order to comply with the court's decision, which we all agree we have to do. That's the whole issue. And you say we can only look at five words, and I say we ought to look at the whole paragraph. That's the whole issue. And I just want to get some public comment on it. You know, we're going around and around at this point. We're not making a lot of progress. I'm sorry about that. I really think we ought to be able to resolve this. Believe me, I am as frustrated as you are. I also feel like, you know, I'm being held hostage by people who are only willing to consider one alternative and one way of doing business. You know, this is the way I understand the court opinion, and nobody in the world is allowed to provide us with comment to suggest that maybe there's another way of reading the court opinion, maybe the court opinion addresses more than those five words. I don't understand why you're so afraid of letting the public into this process and hearing what they have to say on how many words we're going to delete. And it is, I admit, an unusual circumstance. I'm not proposing to add any words at all. I want to take out more words than you do.
With respect to the Commissioner McGann's, you know, statement about, I immediately following Emily's list, we did take regs off the books. The court struck down specific regulations. I agree with you. I accept that we lost in Citizens United, and we have to comply with that decision. But the court did not enumerate a list of our regulations and strike them down. Instead, it struck down a portion of the statute, and there was a lot of discussion about other concepts around corporations and labor unions that obviously have implications for the regulations in our books. But it isn't as easy as just taking things off the books. There's a question of what to take off and what portions, and some of it is very easy. Some things can just simply be struck out, but there's obviously, with respect to the reporting regulations, a cross-reference. And I agree with Commissioner Weintraub that what we're really asking about is, now that 114.15 no longer exists, should 9, the provision that was implemented to or was adopted to specifically address that new regulation after the court's decision, should that continue to exist? I don't think that's holding anything hostage. I think it's trying to have a complete discussion rather than a discussion limited in only one particular way. And frankly, I would like us to be able to do more than one rulemaking at a time. I think there are a number of other issues that we should be tackling, and I would like to turn to as many of those, including discussions about where we should go with Emily's list over the summer, if we can. I think we need to do that. But I disagree that it's as easy in this particular case as just striking out particular regs. In where cases strike down our regs, we have acted very quickly to do that, as we did in Emily's list. In this case, we did announce that we are not going to enforce certain obvious provisions, but there's stuff even in the part that I think Commissioner Vice Chair Hunter described as the first 75 pages or whatever the overlap was in January, that even have alternatives and some discussion about what we should be doing in response to the court, because the court did not address all of those regulations that are on our books right now. So that was the attempt to try to, you know, continue to move this forward. I agree with Commissioner Weintraub that the language in 104 is critical, and asking questions about it shouldn't bog down the process. This is the first step of the process where we seek public comment. At the end of the day, you know, if there's not agreement on how to deal with it, the commission will address it then. It always has managed to do so. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When I was chair last year, after the Citizens United decision came down last you know, a year and a half ago, I supported that rulemaking out of the gates, basically bifurcating a CU rulemaking into kind of two different phases. One, addressing the regulations and statutory, you know, the rules on the books that were directly impacted by Citizens United, and then having a follow-up rulemaking or several, depending on how complex the issues might be, to address other issues that were impacted and that are relevant to the issue but weren't necessarily directly addressed. And the reason why is because, I mean, we do have an obligation to remove regulations that have been invalidated by the Supreme Court and to comply with that decision and to provide more clarity on the reporting forms now that corporations and labor unions can engage in independent expenditures. And I advocated that because for fear of where we are now, where we there. As Commissioner Hunter and Commissioner Weintraub pointed out, there's a lot of overlap between the two NPRMs. I mean, if you were to compare word for word, I would say 90% of the document of the two competing documents are identical, and it's on a few sticky issues that they diverge. But those are important issues, and I think we have some different ideas of how those ought to be resolved. But I think that there's a tremendous amount of overlap, and we could get those issues resolved, and I think we have to get those issues resolved in order to be fully compliant with the Supreme Court's dictates. And so that's why I support the approach that's embodied in Draft B of the two NPRMs. I would say, though, what that proposal is not exactly novel in terms of what we've done here at the agency. We had a Shays 3 rule, a Shays 3 decision that was handed down right before several of us joined the commission. We didn't have a Shays 3 omnibus rulemaking. We divided that into three discrete issues on coordination and federal election activity and solicitation at non-federal events. I think for the wise reason that any one of those, you didn't want every rule to be bogged down if one rule got bogged down. And so we were able to do that, and all three of those we've promulgated new rules on those issues. And I think that approach, and I hear Commissioner McGann saying the same thing, that I think sequencing is actually important. I think that the more we pile on, the more likely it's going to be that we're going to end up with nothing at the end of the day, and I think that would be unfortunate. I don't want to deny anyone their First Amendment right to ask questions, and for that reason, I'm prepared to support the notices of availability that are on the agenda. One of which deals a little more strictly with the regulations that were struck down by Citizens United, and the second one deals with independent expenditures and is. You know, one that goes beyond the scope of the decision itself. I'm prepared to allow people, you know, to put that notice out, to get comment from the public on the advisability of how to approach the reporting of IEs in a post Citizens United world. So I'm willing to do that. So I'm more than happy to hear what the public has to say. But I do think that in this case, we shouldn't bog down the necessary work of getting the invalid regulations off the books as soon as possible. I mean, I several of us, at least half of us here, have worked up on Capitol Hill, and I think we all understand that we want to attach as much as we can to the vehicle that looks like it's going to pass, and that oftentimes a provision that may struggle to pass on its own, of course, you want to get that on the train that's leaving the station. Unfortunately, if you put too much baggage on that train, it may never leave the station. And so I would support Draft B, but in any case, I'm prepared to support the two notices of availability, and when it's appropriate, I'll be happy to vote aye on those.
Commissioner Weintraub?
I've said everything that I can say on this, so I'm ready to make a motion. I don't want to cut off debate, though.
Commissioner Walther? Yeah,
thank you, Madam Chair. It's been an interesting conversation. From my perspective, I think that from the get-go, when we had something as important as Citizens United coming down to really change the landscape of everything we do, in most of what we do in one way or another. I was willing to support a plenary hearing just to, without a lot of guidance or restrictions, just to hear what people had to say, what the impact was overall, not to bog ourselves down with the finite questions that we might ask somebody to give an answer to, some of which we already know how we're going to react, but really just take a, just sit back and listen to what people have to say, and it might give us some greater wisdom than we're showing here today. The other approach would be to take both of our drafts that we voted on last, and by the way, we did have a cumulative approach toward the draft that we the drafts that we voted on in January, and let just agree to send them both out for comment if that's the way it has to be, and hear what the public have to say about those. I mean, we'll get some pretty strong answers one way or the other, but at least we'll get the input. I think what concerns me the most is our unwillingness to listen to other people and what they have to say. Obviously, we can learn a lot from the wisdom of others. It's obvious today. It doesn't mean that we have to vote on everything at the same time. If we have a plenary hearing, we may bite off, okay, let's get rid of the regs that are clearly got to go, and then we've got our hearing, and we've got some guidance here on where we might want to go on this issue, maybe on foreign investment, foreign corporations, which I think is very important now. There's a big hole in the system right now, because before, when corporations couldn't make contributions, it wasn't an issue. Now, when is a corporation a foreign corporation, and when isn't it? Is it a foreign corporation if there's foreigners that run it but owned by Americans, shareholder-wise, by the majority, or vice versa? We basically have very little guidance of any kind on any of that. So how do we do it when there's foreign corporations and huge investment partnerships, when the general partner is a foreigner but only owns 5%, or vice versa? We need to talk about that, I think, because huge amounts of money can come into the system now without any guidance as to what, how to identify the foreign money that we're really talking about. So I'd say we ought to put it out, let people hear what people have to say in a lot of this. We do not have, I think, the corner on all the implications that are involved. Today, we have two issues, documents that are before us. I would say that I would support A if it meant a compromise and we could get the votes for it, which we can't. So, I think that we've, in my view, come up with an approach in January, and I would suggest that, that's where I am. I think that was a compromise then, in the language that we came up with then. So I think we ought to go back, kind of cool off, and see if we can figure out a way to ask the public for information, and not worry about whether we have to vote on each particular reg at identical, same time. But let's hear what people have to say before it's too late, and then see what we want to do with the information that we have. I think we could probably work it out fairly quickly if we had an approach like that. But today I see a deadlock, and I'm sorry to see that, but I think that's where we are. I'm glad to see us go forward on the notice of availability, though. I think that's really important for us to do, and I think that will be helpful, too, maybe in our dialogue over these other issues.
Is there any further discussion on the documents? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All I'll say is I'm willing to keep talking. If there's anybody on the other side who's willing to talk to me, I'm hoping we're not done with this and that we can still try to get this done. But in the interim, I move approval of Agenda Document 1133.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion fails 2-4. Are there any other motions or discussion? Vice Chair Hunter?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of Agenda Document 11-33A, which has been referred to today as Draft B.
Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails 3-3. Thank you to counsel for
your patience.
Your patience and your feedback on with all of the work that has gone into this. We do appreciate your work on this effort and continuing to help us move this process along.